Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 15th, 2012. Whenever we read the genre of New Testament literature known as epistles, we have to remember that we're reading letters. From time to time, whenever we're reading one of these documents, it seems as though the author makes a shift and we think to ourselves, why is he talking about that? What was going on there? And that last question, what was going on there, is precisely what Bible scholars try and figure out. Generally speaking, when we are looking to interpret an epistle, the assumption that we make is that the letter is a response to an issue or issues going on within the congregation to whom the letter is addressed. And Bible scholars spend a great deal of time reflecting upon what those issues might have been. Now, granted, this is sometimes a bit of work akin to exercising one's holy imagination, and sometimes it's a little more obvious. We've seen some of that already as we've read through the first few chapters of the epistle, the first epistle to the Corinthians. We've heard Paul deal with the factionalism in the church at Corinth. I'm for Paul, I'm for Peter, I'm for Jesus, I'm for Apollos. We've heard Paul wrestle around with all of the relationship issues that were live in the congregation. Yesterday, if we read the passage assigned, we would have seen Paul at work regarding who may and who may not, or who should and who should not eat meat sacrificed to idols. And just in case you didn't get it on the first pass, well, in another chapter or so, we're going to get another go at it because Paul will take it up again. In today's passage, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul spends a lot of time essentially laying out an argument for why he should get paid. Now, we probably wish that he wouldn't be so secular, so worldly. We probably wish that he wouldn't have had that conversation at all, you know. But apparently there were some people at Corinth who said, why should we pay this guy? And, well, isn't that amazing? Again, 20 centuries later, there's still some questions about why clergy should or should not get paid. But I'm not really going to deal with that today for obvious reasons. Instead, I want to pick up on the first few lines of the passage assigned for today, where Paul says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? Now, why would he be asking that question? Well, first, it helps to know the origin of the word apostle. Apostle is literally a word that means one sent with a commission. The kind of commission that Jesus gave his disciples that's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, go into all the world and teach the nations, preach the gospel, baptize people. That was the commission, the Great Commission. But over time, the word apostle came to mean more than just simply one sent with a commission. It came to be associated primarily with those people who had had a relationship with Jesus during Jesus' ministry, the people who had followed him, listened to him directly, worked with him in his ministry, who had been really those first people called and who had had a personal relationship with Jesus. Paul, of course, was not one of the original 12, but Paul always claimed that he had received a vision of the resurrected Lord and that in this vision he had received a commission himself, a mission to go out and to do the same thing that the other disciples/apostles had been sent to do. Well, apparently in Corinth, there were some people who were saying, he's not really an apostle because he didn't really know Jesus. He didn't really walk with him and didn't really eat with him and didn't really engage in the ministry that Jesus was engaged in. This was the camp that was sort of saying, you had to be there, Paul, and you weren't, and so you're not an apostle. And Paul claims a different sort of line of reasoning. He says, I have seen the Lord. And the fact that I have worked among you and that my work has borne fruit, that you're here as a group, that you are still writing to me for guidance, all of that proves my apostleship to be genuine. He says to the people at Corinth, you are the seal of my apostleship. In other words, your very being puts the stamp of God's approval on my commission. Well, so what does that have to do with us? I've been thinking a lot about the fact that when we say both creeds, the Nicene and the Apostles' Creed, there's a line in there about one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The church, all of us, regardless of our station, regardless of our order, regardless of who we are, if we've been baptized, along with the baptism comes a commission. We are sent. We are sent into the world. We are sent into the world to share the good news of God in Christ. It's not about whether we literally knew Jesus. It's not about whether we have been ordained in some judicatory. It is about receiving the commission that is as valid for all of us as it was for Peter and James and John and Paul. The commission to go, to be sent, and to share what we have received from God. Some of us may be paid for it. Some of us may derive our salary from it. But all of us are called to do it, to be the good news of God in the world. So how does it feel to be apostles sent on a mission? It is a great and holy work that all of us are called to do, to witness to Christ every day in our life, in our words, and in our actions. Let us pray. Keep watch over your church, O Lord, with your unfailing love. And since it is grounded in human weakness and cannot maintain itself without your aid, protect it from all danger and keep it in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Until tomorrow, may the peace of the Lord be with you all, and may you find the apostleship that Christ has for you.